You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Several years ago, our Franciscan provincial sent a young Franciscan brother to our house in East St. Louis as part of his training. I guess they figured I couldn't hurt him too bad, so they would send him there to learn how to really go about ministry. And the young man was there for a day or two, and he said to me, "Well, it's very nice here," he says, "but your internet connection is so slow." And of course, I got inspired by the Holy Ghost right at that point, and I said, "Oh," I said, "that's so that you have more time to pray. Give me a break." But it is no secret that we live in an instant age. Everything from morning till night has to happen just right now, instantly, or we somehow get unhinged. We start out early in the morning with our instant coffee and instant oatmeal, and we proceed through the day in that fashion. And on it goes, and I don't want to bore you with all the examples. I made a long list, but as you know, photography now is instant. It is digital. Kodak and Fuji, those people who made film, are out of business because they didn't do it instantly. Our communications are instant. When something happens on the other side of the world, we know it within several seconds, whereas when most of us were children, sometimes took weeks and even months for news to travel around the world. We have instant banking, instant credit. Already mentioned the internet. When we get a pain any place in our body, we want instant relief with the medications we take. And certainly with our fast food operations, we want our meals to be instant as well. And you could probably add 50 more examples without thinking about it too hard. Everything we do in life, we want done just right now. And most of us are old enough to remember back in the good old days when things that were really worthwhile took a little more time. It's difficult to gauge the effect that this has had both on us individually and our personalities and on our culture as large. We are a very impatient people. We are so prone to stress and anxiety when our needs are not fulfilled instantly. And sometimes, because we expect even knowledge to be instantaneous, we end up much more shallow than we really ought to be. What suffers at the society level, our art and our culture become diluted because we don't take the time to appreciate good art, good music, good literature. Even education, we become impatient if we don't learn a foreign language in a week or two. All those things that we just traditionally expected to take a lot of time suffer when we give in too much to the instant generation. And I am sorry to report to you that even religion is not exempt from this tendency. Sometimes people forget that what God asks us to do takes more or less a lifetime to accomplish, and we want instant salvation. Well, the scriptures today give us a slightly different approach to this business of religion. They tell us that God is on a different schedule than we are. In the Old Testament, we have this wonderful story of Abraham and God dickering about the fate of the city of Sodom, which was known for its terrible sinfulness. And Abraham decides to go to bat. Well, if we can find 50 people there who are virtuous, would you please hold off with your destruction of the city? And you just heard, it's amusing how Abraham and God, it probably took all day, negotiated, and Abraham kept whittling them down, finally got them down to 10. God knows where it ended up. But it's just a marvelous story of how God and Abraham, who stands for people, all of us, negotiate things. Now, I don't know if you've ever negotiated with God when you prayed. I have on many occasions. And I'm happy to report that God is pretty much a pushover, as Abraham found out too. Give God half a reason for goodness and mercy, and God will jump on it. That's what God does best, is to show mercy. And somehow we forget that sometimes, and we get either so in awe of God, or we just really don't forget how God wants to have a personal relationship with us, that we don't even enter into that dialogue when we are praying. And of course, Jesus in the gospel is talking about prayer in several different ways. The classic text of the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, as it's translated here in Luke, is the perfect prayer. We are asking God over and over again for the essential things that we need to be good spiritual sons and daughters, and we ought to say that prayer, as we do, I think, many, many times each and every day. And then Jesus gives a couple examples, especially there's one about the fellow who's in bed and his friend comes knocking at the door. Jesus said, stay with it in your prayer. Be persistent. Just because a prayer is not answered first time through instantly doesn't mean to say, well, God doesn't care anymore, I'm out of here. We're supposed to be persistent. And then Jesus follows that up and says, knock and you will receive, seek and you will find. Such a wonderful, wonderful image of a God who wants to enter into a relationship with us and to be on our side. But we got to give God some time. If you expect it to happen 3 minutes after you walk into church and make the sign of the cross, you're likely going to be disappointed. God enters into a relationship with us that is deep and takes time, even a lifetime, to develop. So, as I always like to do, there are several levels of applying these things before we even get to the spiritual level at the natural level of our human life. I think we as Christians ought to give a good example to the rest of the world about quality life. And that means everything is not instant and automatic. We need to lighten up and slow down. I think Pope Francis has been saying the same thing in recent weeks. We need to take time to enter into conversations with one another. We need to take time to read and to read deeply and to study. And whether we work or we play, we need to do it at a leisurely pace, because God has been so wonderful and has given us a lifetime and doesn't expect us to be an instant success. And certainly at the level of our spiritual life, as I hope my Franciscan brother learned a little bit, we have to take time to develop virtue. You remember the old saying, patience is a virtue. Well, there's all kinds of virtues, and all of them take a lifetime of practice and trial and error and patience to develop. And certainly when we pray in private, that is true, and when we pray in public, as we're doing here this evening together, our liturgy, we need to take our time at it. I can remember somebody said, well, that's a good priest. He had Mass in 22 minutes. Well, for heaven's sake. I mean, the Last Supper took about 10 times that long. And when we come That's not the idea, to get in and out and have some sort of instant sanctifying grace zapped on you and in your good for the go for the next 7 days. We need to take our time when we gather in worship as well. And just as when you go to someone's home for a lovely dinner, you linger a while and you talk and you drag it out as long as you possibly can. So that's the lesson for this weekend. God's time is not our time. God's schedule is not ours. And certainly the Eucharist that we celebrate, I hope you didn't come here looking for fast food, because this is the banquet of the Lord, which is a foretaste of the banquet of heaven, which, if we believe these scriptures, is going to last forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.